I have come with a very powerful text. I would like to read it for you. John chapter 21, verses 1 to 14. And it's a very powerful place there in the scriptures, and I will read it for you. I am reading in the NIV. John chapter 21, verses 1 to 14. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the son of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish. Simon Peter told them, and they said, well, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This now was the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Lord, I pray that as I explain your word to your people, that your power may overpower us so that we can surrender to you. Bless us, Jesus. We love you. Your word is life for us. Speak to each one of us in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. We missionaries fly a lot. So to go to Congo, you have to go. We do it from Grand Rapids to Chicago, Chicago to Brussels, Brussels to Kinshasa. 24 hours. You get there tired. And I just, you know, when you fly for such a long time, you will hear, there is a time the pilot will say, oh, folks, put on your seat belt because we're going to go through some rough air, turbulence. I hate them. Now, in life also, all of us go through times of turbulence. When things just, for some reason, are not working out. Our lives is like messed up. We quite are not able to handle things. You know what we do when we hit turbulence? All of us go back to basics. Whatever we do best, we want to do it just to feel a little bit settled and calm down. In the text, you can see that Peter hit turbulence because you can hear him, I'm going out to fish. Because things were not working out for him. There is one thing, only one thing that Peter could control. It's fishing. Because he was an expert fisherman, a businessman actually doing his commercial fishing. So I will tell you today, teach about three things quickly. D'ailleurs, it's a French word, I'm sorry. It's 10:06, and I heard your church ends at what, 10:30. And you don't like preacher who preach for a long time. I'll keep it short, I promise. Three things about Peter. Peter, beautiful past. Peter, awful present. Peter, wonderful future. Three things. The first one is Peter, beautiful past. The second one is Peter, awful present. And the third one is Peter, wonderful future. What is Peter's beautiful past? I'm talking about the point where Peter is. His beautiful past started when he met Jesus on the shore of the same lake of Gennesaret. 3 years before, he met Jesus there, and Jesus, he was fishing. You can see that in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. You don't have to read it now, just write it down. Luke 5, 1 to 11, Jesus met Peter there. Peter was fishing, and Jesus called him by his name. And then Peter came and became a disciple. Jesus invited him to join his team. As I said, Luke chapter 5, 1 to 11. But it was not even that only. Peter was so good at following Jesus. Jesus made him as the captain of the team. Jesus made Peter into the leader of other apostles. You can see that in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Beautiful even. Jesus promised to Peter he will give him the keys to the kingdom of God. Wow. As I said, Matthew 16, 18. Everything was going great for Peter. Because of what? When Jesus called him, Jesus gave him power. Jesus gave him authority. Peter could perform miracles. Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. He could perform miracles. He could heal the sick. He could literally command the evil spirit to get out, and they got out. Wow. When things are going so well in your life, there is one thing that pops up. Pride. Things were going so great, so beautiful for Peter, that Peter was suddenly full of himself. Do you know how you see it? Look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 22. You will see him even. My Bible says, when Jesus started talking to Peter and to others that I am going to die to save the world, my Bible says, Peter called Jesus, took him aside. Kid, come here. And my Bible says, Peter rebuked the Lord Jesus. Wow. Peter rebuked Jesus. You're not going to die. And Jesus looked at him like, what? I'm the one who called you. Now you are rebuking me. By the way, you have to know Peter was older than Jesus. But it's not there. Jesus is about to die. He's about to go. And he calls his disciples. He says, tonight, all of you will run away from me because I will be stricken. And Peter stands up and says, Lord, you don't get it. I am going to stick with you. I will die with you. All of the other disciples can run away. That's the problem. I, Peter, will not run away. There will be not three crosses, four. Add one more for Peter because he was so sure. Mission Emphasis Week. Ministry is destroyed through success. When things are going so well, we tend to rely on us, on our own power. They say pride comes before what? Before. Your marriage is in trouble, not because your wife is mean or bad, no. Because you are the boss, full of yourself. You listen to nobody. Your marriage is in trouble, not because your husband is a problem. You are the lady and you are in control. The children don't listen because they don't listen. Folks, what is destroying America? Pride. Everyone knows. Everyone is a king. Nobody listens to nobody. Jesus stands there, looks at Peter, and says, you know what? I called you. I gave you the keys. But you have an ego problem. If I leave you this way, you will destroy the church. The biggest obstacle to ministry, the biggest obstacle to missions It's not money. It's not how hard people are. Pride. A missionary full of himself is a liability for the church. Jesus tells Peter, "Peter, you will deny me three times tonight." I go now, second point, because it's 10:13. I'm checking our time because Peter's awful presence starts that evening when that lady young says, "You were with Jesus." My Bible says Peter denied Jesus three times, not one time, because if he did it one time, he would say, "You know, Jesus, I was a little bit asleep." Three times he denied knowing Jesus. He is the only apostle who denied knowing him. Jesus, my Bible says, didn't stop and say, "Ha ha, Peter, I told you no." Jesus looked at him. Ah. Peter got into trouble. Jesus rose from the dead. Did you notice? The Bible says this is the third time Jesus was appearing to the disciples. It means he appeared to them twice. Did you notice in the Bible? Jesus did not talk to Peter after he was raised from the dead. Peter was dying inside. And he knew that, you know what? Let's close this chapter. I tried my best. I couldn't follow God. I'm going out fishing. Which means I am going back to my old life. I'm done with Jesus. I failed him. Now I cannot continue. Folks, let's go back to the lake where things go well. To what I can control. Maybe you are going through a time of doubt. Or time when you don't quite understand. Why is God doing this in my life? Your faith is shaken. And you think the answer is staying home. Or just coming there, sitting, being almost dead. Peter really believes if he just goes back to the fishing business, he's going to be okay. There he goes. And then with experience, he knows for me to get the maximum number of fish, I have to go at night and work all night. So they go there all night. What Peter didn't know, even the fish in the sea knew that we're not going to bite with Peter. No. He's full of himself. We don't like ego people who deny the Lord. I can tell you folks, those fish in that water that day, they had cell phones. They text each other. Nobody bites. They sent messages all over the lake. Nobody bites with Peter. He denied Jesus. My Bible says they worked all night. They got nothing. And in the morning, they are coming back toward the shore. Peter was deflated. Even what he knows best is not working. You're stuck. Your Reformed God, your Baptist God, your Pentecostal God, your Presbyterian God is not working. You're ready to quit. Peter is coming early morning. I could sense in his spirit, I'm going to kill myself. I tried Jesus, it didn't work. I tried fishing, it didn't work. I'm done. Maybe, you know, we never know. Huh? Maybe somebody here is thinking about suicide. It's at that time when Peter is down, when he can't figure it out, that he hears a voice 90 yards from the shore. He hears a voice. "Kids, don't you have something to eat?" "No." "Cast your nets. Throw your net on the right side of the boat." There is a reason why Jesus said right side. There is a reason why Jesus said do it closer to the shore. Because he was provoking Peter. Peter is a professional fisherman. He knows you don't cast closer to the shore. One, it's dumb because your net will be all tangled up. Second, only dumb fish come to eat at the cross. Peter stood there like I could see him shake his head. Who is this guy telling me to throw my net right here? He knows nothing about fishing. But in my Bible says, Peter just stood there, obeyed. And when he obeyed, when the commandment made no sense, then he got 153 fish. My sermon title is Simple Obedience. You obey not because it makes sense. You obey not because it is like you think. You obey not because you obey because God said so. Why is abortion wrong? Not because the baby suffers, because God said so. Why is homosexuality wrong? Not because people have problems, because God said so. Why is injustice wrong? Not because God said so. Jesus loves me, this I know. Not because I feel it, for the Bible tells me so. You understand that? We obey not because we understand it. We obey not because we like it. We obey not because society likes it. We obey because God said so. Peter has a future now because he has learned simple obedience. Until we learn simple obedience, our faith will impact nobody. Rebellion and ministry don't work together. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen. I'm done.